So I have the privilege of introducing one of our global partner missionaries that we have supported for several years now. Corey and his family have been in Haiti for 23 years, but with all of the unrest that has been happening in Haiti, they have transitioned over to Zambia and have been there for a couple years. Corey's going to share with us how our support money helps him and his family spread God's gospel. They are very much into agriculture to show them how they can grow their own food, support themselves. So if you could help me give them a warm Dighton Wesleyan Church welcome, I would like to introduce to you Corey Theed.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to worship with you this morning. And I don't know if you can see better if I'm down here for the pictures. I'm good here. All right. I don't know if I'll block the... I don't know. Good here. Go. Sorry. All right. Good start here. So, yeah. Wow, that's bright. Yeah, you can see me better now. So, yeah, Chris is normally would be here also, but her mom just had a hip replaced on Tuesday, so she needs to be home for that. But I would like to thank Dighton for your prayers and support. It's really what allows us to work overseas, and we wouldn't be able to do that. So I'd like you to consider what, you know, what you see you've helped accomplish. So you can go to the next slide. And like you just heard, the news out of Haiti isn't very good. The gangs continue to move out from Port-au-Prince, taking over the middle part of the country. So it's really difficult, a lot of people displaced. And North Haiti is still pretty normal, so really a bright spot on the news is the kids' clubs still meeting in North Haiti every Sunday afternoon. They have a couple hours they can meet and learn about the Bible stories and verses, praise God, and have fun activities. So, and many, they even celebrate birthdays. A lot of families can't afford, you know, to celebrate kids' birthdays, but they do that. And the project helps, you know, fund the, so they can have some gifts and snacks and, you know, it's just like toothpaste or practical things, soap. But the kids really appreciate that. So good to see that in North Haiti continuing really strong attendance. And next slide, we'll just move on to Zambia, where we've been for a couple of years. And this is the Jumbo Mission. It's southern part of Zambia. Zambia was Rhodesia. It's in South Central Africa. It's three times bigger than Michigan, so it's a pretty big country. And so the mission, they have a school and a hospital. And this is the Bible College. There's close to 500 Wesleyan churches now in Zambia. So the church is really growing, and a lot of need for teachers and pastors. So a lot of those leaders are trained here at the Bible College. That's where we've lived. About 30 to 40 students. It's a three-year program. And so yeah, they have the classes, weekend ministry assignments, and they'll teach you like once a week, an hour or a couple hours agriculture class. Next slide. It's pretty shoestring budget to keep the costs down. The students and teachers, they farm to grow their own food. They have gardens they water, so they grow their greens and corn. They're assigned a field that they can grow their own corn. That's what they eat every day, all day. It's corn mush and greens, and if they can afford it, then a little bit of meat. And so it's a challenge, and you know, the mission has a lot of land, so you know, part of it, like I said, the students and teachers farm some of it's rented, but a lot of it's just the neighbors are using. So this is really a resource that God's provided that could help them break out of the poverty, you know, which hinders transportation and a lot of the things they like to do. So, you know, we got there, and then, you know, a couple of years ago, it was just the worst drought in 100 years. So most of the fields, you know, the rains came late, and then they're doing good. You put all, you know, you bought seed and fertilizer, and then the rains stopped early. It was just a complete loss for most of the fields. And this is the principal and his field. And, yeah, one of the What's that? So the next one shows like a mango tree. So even despite the worst drought in 100 years, the mangoes still had a good crop when the rains came. They're starting to produce at the beginning of the rainy season when there isn't much to eat. And avocado tree, there's one big tree on the mission. The mangoes are common. They're not very good variety. It's stringy. So we got some good ones. We're propagating those and planting those because it'd be a good income source marketing those. And this avocado tree just loaded with good, like, Haas avocados. So we're propagating those because they're not very common. So those really, even in a drought year, can produce. So we planted, had them keep the seeds, and we got those going in nursery. We're getting a nursery going to plant some of the fields. So next slide. So we started hundreds of them. Next slide. Hired the students. This is a rough year. It's God's timing. I think we were provided, we could be there, and we had the agriculture project, so even though people were out of food and Zambia was importing corn instead of exporting it, so I could hire students, and the ones that had the most financial need, they helped plant things. Here's a couple years later, some rows of avocados. You can still plant, like soybeans, short crops, peanuts, between the fruit trees, and that was kind of new to them. Oh, you can plant fruit trees and you can still, harvest your field. So that as the trees grow, and I'll go back one slide to, that's Pastor Patrick, and it's really been a blessing working with him. He came from another area. He was a former student, but he loves being a pastor and he loves farming. He had experience growing the corn. So he helped with the project. I was teaching him the fruits and he's helping me with the corn and beans. So yeah, next slide. So yeah, this avocado is a little over 2 years old. In the capital city, there's this hardware store had a bunch of grafted fruit trees from South Africa, so we got a lot of different ones to try. So we planted just a few of each because the dry season's pretty brutal. It's long, like 7 months. So you have to water them some, at least when they're young. And then we're planting more of the mangoes, which are really tough, and we know they don't have to be irrigated. So next, they're grafted good trees we could use for propagation if we get enough irrigation or for the area, it's kind of new. Because, vegetables, they've looked into that for helping support the schools. And you don't make much, the vegetable prices are pretty low, but fruits are imported mostly from South Africa that get a good price in the markets. We've had already some plums and apricots and a few other fruits. Next one, this golden delicious apple, also Granny Smith, like is ever bearing in the tropics. You keep getting several crops a year. So they're still small. The pollination's a little bit of a problem. They're just getting started. But next, so there's a lot of potential. But then, bigger scale, the avocados and mangoes. So teaching grafting to the students. Most of these students will have to help support themselves farming in the future, at least when their churches are young and getting established. It's a lot of young, new churches. See you next. And Patrick, this is like a graft. You wrap it up plastic, and in a month or two, it's ready to start growing. And then you have a tree that produces when it's small instead of when it's a big tree. So it just speeds up the production. And then, of course, mangoes, it's a good varieties that we're propagating. So, yeah, Patrick's taking a lot of notes, and we're helping each other with the agriculture project. So provide more resources for the ministries of the church and mission. So then, with all this land, we farmed about, 60 or 80 acres. We're going to do more, but with the manual labor, we didn't get as much done as we wanted to. But we made a good start on basically establishing the mission owns the land, but neighbors have been using it. So really now the younger generation is seeing it more as their land. So in danger of basically losing it if they didn't start using it. So they hired the students, and of course everybody's financially pinched that year. Did soil tests, and they've never done that. Lime, that was a new thing. But we were able to get lime because the soil's acid enough that it would reduce yield. So, make sure the finances and supplies are there. And Patrick worked a lot with the work team. So it's really a blessing to the neighbors and the church members and the students to have some work for cash. Next. So, it's a lot of work doing it all by hand. the next, but even, yeah, it's like a dollar a morning for morning work, and the neighbors are all, yeah, wanting more work. It's not much opportunity outside the cities. So yeah, oxen team for about $6 for a morning. And it's supposed to be a good year this next year, and weather still gave us some challenges. It was dry. We had to replant some of the early fields. So I like fruit trees more than corn and beans. It's more stressful with the corn and beans. You don't get it done right on time with a short rainy season, about 3 months of good rain. So I had to replant some with some early varieties that have lower yield potential, but they end up doing well. This is one of the late planted fields. So we're really thankful for God's provision. The country, most of the country had good rains, even though we were dry where we were. So they had a record corn crop this past winter. It's south of the equator, so it's 6 months off. So then this is one of the soybean fields. We planted fruit trees, mostly mango and avocado. And then same shot here a month or two later. So it's very fertile land. It's just a short rainy season. So a little bit of fertilizer, and they've been farming some of this land for like 100 years. One of the students with his field. Next. And now just this past week, they've been shelling the corn. I can't imagine how much work it'd be by hand, but we were able to rent a sheller. They harvested by hand, had it just in big piles and in classrooms. But yeah, imagine that, doing that by hand like most people. So we're thankful for a good, pretty good harvest. And getting the farming going. So yeah, next. So this winter we took a trip to Asia. I've never been to Asia, but there's a consulting group being set up with professionals in medicine and agriculture and things, so that the churches, with the increasing persecution and government, limits on what churches can do, it's kind of like a separate consulting one to help the churches with their projects that help support the work. So this is Indonesia. I own a Borneo, and most of Indonesia is Muslim. But this pastor has some land. They're trying to, raise money through some land he has with oil palms. They tried bananas and coffee, but the prices were too low on bananas, and coffee didn't do well. So there's oil palms. We had oil palms in Haiti, and they did really well without management, but there they really have to fertilize them with a tropical soil that's not very fertile. And so be able to consult from a distance in the future. So yeah, this was the one that was producing well, but that was rare to see that. So it was one of the Christian families there in this little community. Visited some of their farms, but some of their palm trees were really crippled with like some micronutrient deficiencies, so I'm able to give them a few pointers on that, but a lot of the fertilizer and stuff is available. This is black pepper, another one of the people in the community. So it's a disease killing the pepper, and I was just able to let them know some pointers on slowing down the spread, because you can't really cure that one. And this is in Cambodia. They had this garden project where they're planning to rebuild a church or expand their church. So again, black pepper and vegetables that they're growing. And this is a World Hope project. They visited several World Hope projects there in Cambodia. Yeah, surprisingly long dry season, even in Cambodia and in India. The Borneo is rainforest. Yeah, next. So we went to central India, and they have pretty well-developed agriculture in India. And the churches are mainly in the cities, but out in the country, there hasn't been as much Christian churches. It's mostly Hindu. There's also Muslims and a minority of Christians. So out in the country where farmers, often the middlemen, they'll buy the crops and then bring it to the city to sell, and the farmers tend to get in debt and really get discouraged, and thousands of them, even in this one state in central India, every year thousands of farmers get in debt and lose hope and commit suicide. So this pastor from the city, he's been working some out in the rural areas, so we visited, stayed with him, and he showed us some of his projects. So it's really neat seeing the things he's doing and the churches he's planted and he had a school. So yeah, next. So there's an article in Global Partners, Planting Seeds of Hope, about this Pastor Anup and his ministries, neat things he's doing. This was a little prayer room. They just called it a prayer room. It's basically a church, but you know that way it's a Muslim area. They can worship there. And he has some projects with the farmers. He has a big proposal for helping the farmers, training them in agriculture and business to get more opportunities to not get in debt. So he has set up a co-op. Well, this is a group for training. And the next slide, I think, is a co-op where they could let the farmers grow wheat and fruit trees. They'll have like wheat in their orange field. So instead of selling the wheat, they can grind it here into flour, and they use the flour to make their tortillas, and plan to make pasta, and then sell that in the city at a higher price. So I'll share a little bit more about like prayer request. Chris usually does this part, so I hope I can get through it okay. So this is graduation from last year in July at Zambia Bible College. So pray for the new students that will be coming in this next year. And for us, we need to get our two-year work permit renewed. So it expires in November. So there's several options of places we could go if Zambia won't renew our work permit, but we expect it'll be renewed and then we'll go back probably right after Thanksgiving. But pray for the students as they're starting their new ministries, and sometimes it's pretty hard out in the rural areas. This is at one of the kids' clubs. Pray for the kids, and we're glad for the good reports we get out of Haiti. And this older picture from my oldest two kids are pretty young there. So this Madame Felician, she cooked and cleaned while Chris was busy at the hospital and I was doing the agriculture things at the mission and maintenance. That's what I got stuck in a lot. But so her kids, her youngest two there, kind of got to see, expand their vision for the world a bit. Someone had recorded like Sesame Street, so they got to watch some videos together. And, one of those, there's a picture of pumpkin field, and she's like, wow, look at that field of strange rocks. And it's a pumpkin patch. It's like, yeah, you don't have pumpkins in Haiti. So now the next one is, this one on the right is Samantha. Now she's working as secretary at the hospital and nursing school. So she's their accountant and office manager. Anyway, she has quite a bit of responsibility now. It's good to see how she's able to continue serving in Haiti. That's still going on while missionaries can't be there. And Lagunov's kind of isolated, and North Haiti is still pretty normal. But people can continue the ministries and worshiping together. So the person here, Zachary, we didn't really know him till recently. We just met him a little bit. But we definitely benefit on the island of Lagunov for the Ministry of Missionary Flights. And this is in Lowell, Michigan, at their training center, where Zachary's a pilot and a mechanic. And he was living in Port-au-Prince for a while. They had to stay right at living at the hangar when it was too dangerous to travel back home. Then he eventually had to leave, and then they were rebasing to Central Haiti, and they had to cancel that because the gangs were pushing close. So now he's engaged to be married in October to a Canadian. They plan to go to Lesotho, that's the country in the country of, surrounded by the country of South Africa. So next summer they plan to serve there. That would be the first Haitian missionary with MAF in Africa. And also, there's a Haitian couple serving in, I think it's Ivory Coast now. They were going to go to the DR Congo, but it's too unstable there. They've been in Cameroon, or Burkina Faso, So working with a lot of Muslims. And we encourage the Zambians, that you've been, the church has been there a long time, but we still don't have missionaries. Some neighboring countries come to this Bible school, but encourage them to to have missionaries to their neighboring countries, and also to the Muslims that are living in Zambia. It's considered a Christian country, but there are a lot of Muslims. And a lot of the businesses are owned by like Pakistanis and other nationalities, and the Chinese. So there are a lot of opportunities even in the country for witness to. But yeah, we never know with the seeds that are planted with the, I'll back up one for the, in children. Because yeah, like the kids clubs, that wasn't our main focus, but it was definitely, you know, very important of part of our work in Haiti. And Zachary, a missionary pilot, had become a Haitian fellowship. To see the, yeah, pray for us for God's, we want to be sensitive to God's leading because we'd like to be in a, you know, a stable place for Fritz. He just started high school. So yeah, we're hoping Zambia will be a stable location for 4 months. It's kind of a challenge with irrigation, so it might kind of limit at Jumbo College what we could do agriculturally. So we don't know yet if the national leaders had suggested maybe we go up closer to the Congo where there's more rain. It'd be a central location for the kind of agricultural work, and there's chiefs up there who'd even, in the past, they'd offered tracts of land to give the church for free. So it's really hard, basically on our own, to know what what's best to do. But we're trusting God to lead. And this is back in Borneo, this Christian community, but a lot of Muslim neighbors. So I think we'll take a few questions, and then we'll have some prayer. But it got done pretty quick here, so if anyone has a few questions that weren't things that weren't clear that you want to hear a little bit more about, I can do that. My eyes are adjusting, I can see a little bit now. So I see. It's about 20 million people. So Haiti's probably 12 million. Zambia's about 24 times bigger. So there's a lot of land. And a lot of young people, population growing rapidly. It's one of the most stable or safest countries in Zambia, though there are a lot of venomous snakes and where you get visas is kind of, immigration is kind of challenging. I think they get flooded with immigrants if they open it up more. Yeah, any other questions? Yeah, the background on that, the bananas weren't doing very well in Haiti, so there's a place in Florida that does the little tissue culture plants, so they're disease-free. And I was able to bring in a lot of trays, tried a lot of varieties. There's a variety from India that really grow fast. It's just a little yellow banana, really thin skin. They call it strawberry banana, or anyway, it just did really well in Haiti, growing better than the local varieties. It's a tough banana that didn't need much fertilizer. I haven't done bananas in Africa. They do grow some with irrigation, but there's some big plantations that do that, but it just needs too much water for where we are at Jumbo. With that big drought, had a few banana plants that kind of died because you had to kind of decide what to save and what to let dry up. So that's a big prayer concern. The well for the college, it's an old, drilled in the 80s. There's a lot of dead wells, so it's kind of a challenging geology, I guess. About water table's about 100 foot deep. And that metal casing seems to be a draw magnet for lightning, so it got two motors were fried while we were there. Even second time, it's like, oh yeah, that's a surge protector. I hooked it up, but it still got fried again. So they drilled a new well, deeper, but because they really need more water. And that seems to have kind of dried up the other well that's only a few hundred feet away. So, right, there's an old gasoline tractor that I thought would be too expensive to. They use that a little bit, and they'll probably use it more. It might get a little diesel one, but we can rent from the government pretty low cost. It's just once they got busy, we ended up having to use oxen. If we had our own oxen, it would have saved some money too. But anyway, we were getting everything set up, kind of. But it was really a blessing after the drought, just for everybody to have the labor for some cash. So I think it's all God's timing, and it worked out kind of win-win for everybody, even though that some of the neighbors didn't want us farming the land they'd been using. Yep, mostly with oxen. Little gardens, it's all hoes. They hoe with a little short hoe, too. So they work like that. I'm not sure why they don't use taller hoes. We made some long ones from the tri, because other parts of the country use long hoes. So they open the furrow with the oxen and use oxen to cover it back up. That's what that one student with the spiky thing, he was covering up the corn. And we've had people doing it by hand also covering the seed, but actually the oxen did better. So it's kind of a learning. We didn't know the soil, the weeds, the fertility. So we could be a little more efficient this next year. Not much. You can't do really big acreage with oxen, but the input costs are pretty low. You get good hybrid seed, low cost. Fertilizer is not too bad. It was granular fertilizer. So, the mission is paying tax on all this land, but it's not much, but it adds up over the years because it's a big acreage, a few hundreds of acres. Some of these people are using it. They can't sell it. The mission owns it, but like I say, with time, they're in danger now of losing it. And you just get taxed some when you transport the corn, so they can actually use it like at the school. Right there, they got 500 high schoolers that are boarding school. They eat breakfast is corn. Everything is corn. Yeah. So it's kind of like the coarse corn looks kind of like rice in the morning. So they can use a lot of it themselves. They talk about selling some to DR Congo. You pay the tax, but still the prices are high enough there they could make more money that way, because Zambia exports some of their corn. In the past, they've kept the price pretty low, so you couldn't make much money on the corn. Soybeans are a little more of a cash crop, but now the government's trying to encourage their farmers more, getting the price a little better. Yeah, taxes are pretty minimal. Everybody grows chickens, yeah. So that's where some of the soybeans and corn goes to. They eat most of it. The students, they work hard. They got their weekend ministry assignments, and in the rainy season, they're farming. It's pretty busy. They're out in the sticks. You're 18 miles down a dirt road from the paved road. So, I don't know how we're doing for time, or leave a little bit of time for a prayer, but. So, yeah, it's been mainly one area. We made one loop through the southern part of the country. It's like probably 30 hours of driving, mostly on highways. It's a big country. But yeah, that southeastern part is pretty fertile. Then you get more in the sand in the west, and the northern part is not as fertile either, but more rain, so it's better for the fruit trees. Based there, we could do some, like there's Farming God's Way. There's a town about 2 hours away that has Farming God's Way. It'd be neat to visit. We're gonna have the students visit that. I've taught some of that. So it's a nice program that you can, a lot of verses backing up some of the stewardship. And so, yeah, that's why I cover the safety of the chemicals and pest control, soil fertility, and like that lime, putting lime on, because the fertility is going down and down, and they're losing their trees. They cook with charcoal. So I kind of see, you're going like Haiti here, and then you get to where the grazing's overgrazed, and then everything's just dry and unproductive. So preventing that, God, as I shared with them, you lend someone a tool, and that's kind of what God did with our land. you know, if someone brings back the tool, it's all wore out and wrecked, you're not too happy. But if you give it back, you know, sharpened, even better than it was, hey, that's a good thing. You know, that's what you want to do in your land, and that's what God's done with what he's given us with the resources. So a lot of, you know, biblical truths with agriculture and working with the agricultural communities. So, yeah. So, yeah, I've shared quite a few prayer requests, and pray for the teachers too. They're not making much, you know, money. It's really a ministry. Three main teachers. For the well to really be productive, because they struggle. They're having a conference this next week. They've already had like men's conference, but it's hard to have enough water to water the gardens. This is dry season while they have extra people. It's just the well only puts out like 2 buckets of water a minute, so dry season it's just running 24/7. I think it's pumping air a lot of the time too. So pray for maybe God's guidance in a third well that we need to do when we get back there. So I've asked him any progress on the well, and it's just hard because there's pastors, they don't really have the maintenance. don't want to build dependence, but I think we're working to build more independence with a financial base so they can do things like repair the well when lightning strikes it twice in a year and get solar wells set up. The electricity was a problem last year too, with 85% of the country's power was hydropower. And then the drought, a lot of people are only getting about 3 hours of electricity a day. But we ran the line to the clinic, and the government tried to keep the clinic supplied, so we had electricity about half the time, which is nice. And I've set up some solar. So I think the time's about done. Let's have just a word of prayer in closing. But yeah, thank you for listening, and thank you for your prayers and really, yeah, I really really value the prayers. Chris usually does the prayer time, and I know I don't pray as much as I should. And God, I do believe that God's power is released through our prayers. So it's important to have the prayer coverage. And when we have free time or driving, whatever, to be praying. And for God's protection, we do that in the vehicle. So Lord, we just thank you for another day, for all that you do for us, for your provision. Keep your protection over us on the roads as we're, whatever we're doing, when there's free time that we can be praying and remembering you. It's good to hear this morning how you watch over the paths of the godly. So we pray for your guidance, for your protection. Watch over us on whatever path that you lead us. And we just thank you for that. Help those in the conflict zones, like in Haiti and so many areas around the world, that you'll guide your people, whether to meet to worship you or where they can meet and how they can meet, and get creative where there's persecution. And just pray for the gangs, that you'd work in the lives of those leading the gangs, the many children and oppressed people who don't have choices whether to join the gangs to survive, or that you'd provide for your people, and that people turn to you in the hard times for help. Thank you for what you're doing in Zambia, the students, the Bible college, and many people are learning your word. Help them remember, help them have the energy they need and the health, protect the health. And thank you for the projects that provide the finances needed. Thanks for your timing in our lives. Bless this church. Keep your protection over it and the leaders. And we just give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name.